Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Go! It is Tuesday, March the 8th, 2022. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. Once again, 888-914-9149. Toll free to talk to me. And you can also tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Show account is at Cale Clark Show. And you can still email the program, as always, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Great place to send your show ideas, questions, comments that you may have. And today is International Women's Day. I don't know if you know this, but I'd like to know this. Who is your favorite woman saint and why? And no, you can't use Mama Mary. That's cheating. So everyone's going to say that. So if you have a woman saint that's really intrigued you throughout the years and has made a powerful impact on your life, let me know. Let me know. I'm going to be sharing the top 7 quotes of a really cool woman saint, a very modern woman saint who is life-changing in just a couple of moments. Plus, later on in the program, got some cool stuff coming up. On this day in history, 2 cool things happened, which I'm going to share with you later. And I have some monumental, earth-shattering news about the show that you are not going to want to miss. That's coming up. Whew, it's very bittersweet. And I'll share that with you. That's all I'm going to say for now. So just a tease for that. But once again, that number to call, 888-914-9149. So as I said off the top, it's International Women's Day. And I wanted to share with you the top 7 quotes from a really cool woman saint from the 20th century, Saint Edith Stein. And she's also known, you might know her by this name, as Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, because she eventually became a Carmelite nun, and that was her religious name. So she was actually a convert from Judaism to Catholicism. Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. And she was a philosopher. She was a professor, had a PhD, taught in university. Very rare for a woman in those days. And unfortunately, she was martyred. She died in the Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz in the year 1942. She was born on October the 12th, 1891, which is actually coincidental with the celebration of Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement that year. Edith Stein's father died when she was only 2 years old, and she actually became kind of an agnostic slash atheist growing up. She gave up the practice of her Jewish faith when she was an adolescent, but she was incredibly gifted intellectually. And she loved philosophy. She kind of just gravitated towards that. And she actually eventually became a student of the famous professor, Dr. Edmund Husserl, in 1913. You might have heard of that guy if you're into philosophy. And she, throughout her studies, even though she was kind of non-religious at that point, she did meet a lot of Christians in the course of her studies. And she really admired them for their spiritual life, even though she really didn't have much of a spiritual life at that point. And she admired their intellectual rigor and their gifts as well. Well, she graduated from Göttingen University in 1915 with the absolute highest honors that that school could bestow. And then she became a nurse, and she actually worked in an Austrian field hospital in World War I. But she went back to academics just in the next year, in 1916, and she got her PhD. She earned her doctorate. And she actually wrote her thesis on it's actually kind of an interesting topic. It's on the topic of empathy. And I think that's something that's really lacking in today's culture, empathy. And she still kind of was interested in the concept of religion, but at this point, she was still kind of irreligious herself. Until the year 1921, she went to visit some friends, and she found in this place, in this home that she was staying at, the autobiography of Saint Teresa of Avila, the 16th century Carmelite nun, and obviously one of the doctors of the church. So when she read this book, it absolutely floored her. And Edith Stein later said, "When I had finished the book, I said to myself, this is the truth." This is the truth. And there's a profound insight that we can get from this. A lot of the, very often, the way that people contact God, come in touch with God, is through his people, through his saints. So don't discount the value of your life, because you're called to be a saint as well. And St. Paul says in one of his letters that you are, you know, writing to people in the first century, but it also applies to us, obviously, you are living epistles. You are living letters. You are a letter of Jesus Christ. Your life should be read by people. You know, so what are people reading when they look at your life? And that's a great question to ask yourself. But she read the biography, Edith Stein, the autobiography of St. Teresa of Avila, and was absolutely captivated. She said, this is the truth. And so immediately, she wanted to find out more about Catholicism, started studying it, and she eventually was baptized into the Catholic faith on January the 1st, 1922. And she wanted to become a Carmelite nun herself, just like St. Teresa of Avila, her new hero, but she was going to have to wait a long time before that happened. In fact, 11 years would pass before she became a nun. But in the meantime, she taught at a Dominican school. She used to give lectures on women's issues. She actually wrote a book about St. Thomas Aquinas, and she began teaching in a university in 1932. But all of that came crashing down because of the rise of Nazism in Germany. And the fact that she was ethnically Jewish, Edith Stein, that plus Nazism spelled the end of her teaching career. And her mother, her own mother, never really understood why she converted to Catholicism, and she really had a hard time with it. And she kind of had this painful goodbye with her mom, and she entered the Carmelite convent in the year 1934, and that's when she took the name Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. And she did that because she wanted to accept suffering, and certainly there was much of that, much of the cross that was going to come to her. And here's what she wrote about it. She said, quote, "I felt that those who understood the cross of Christ should take it upon themselves on everybody's behalf." That's an interesting quote, that those who understand the cross of Christ have to take it up on everybody else's behalf, who maybe don't get it. And this is what some of our mortifications can do, especially in Lent, some of the reparations that we can make against the injustices, the blasphemies committed against our Lord, the Eucharist, and even the human person created in his image. And there's so much of that with everything that's going on with at home and abroad, with things like abortion, with things like the war in Ukraine, and all the incredible and horrific images of suffering that we're seeing every single day on the news. And so that was her quote. She saw it as her vocation, really, to intercede on behalf of all people with God. And of course, as a Carmelite nun, that occupied a lot of her time. But she especially prayed for her fellow Jews in Germany, as what was happening to them with the Holocaust was becoming more and more clear. And in the year 1939, she wrote this, Edith Stein. She said, "I ask the Lord to accept my life and my death, so that the Lord will be accepted by his people, and that his kingdom may come in glory for the salvation of Germany and the peace of the world," end of quote. And she finished her final book. The last book she ever wrote was actually about St. John of the Cross, who was another Carmelite, another mystic. And the book was called The Science of the Cross. The Science of the Cross. And right after she finished that book, she was arrested, along with her sister Rosa, who had also become a Catholic, by the way, and a whole bunch of others in her religious community, in her Carmelite religious community. They were arrested on August the 7th, 1942. And the reason why they were arrested was because the bishops, the Dutch Catholic bishops, actually wrote a protest letter against Hitler and against Nazism. And as kind of revenge for that, the Nazis rounded up some nuns and put them in Auschwitz. And that is where St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross died, in that concentration camp in Auschwitz on August the 9th, 1942. And that's her feast day, because that's the day of her heavenly birthday, August the 9th. She was canonized by St. John Paul II in 1998, and she was actually named a co-patroness of Europe. And so we can really ask for her intercession with what's going on in the war in Europe. Obviously, she experienced World War I as a nurse in a field hospital. World War II, she was killed in Auschwitz in the concentration camp. And many people think that really right now we're living at the beginnings of World War III. Whether that is the case or not will be more clear as time goes on. But as co-patroness of Europe, we need to ask for her intercession, St. Edith Stein, in these troubled times that we're living in right now. So she's a great saint for International Women's Day, because St. John Paul II, who canonized her, he always used to talk about the feminine genius. And she was really big on that, too. She called it something else. She called it the feminine singularity. But it's basically the same thing. And I want to give you seven quotes from St. Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, that can inspire us. Really, every woman should read these quotes. Every man, too, should read these quotes, because this is true Catholic feminism. And it's a great, great series of quotes for our modern age. So here's the first one. This is just a little sampling. And these were collected, by the way. These quotes were collected by Father Michael Renier. So quote number one, to be a mother is to nourish and protect true humanity and bring it to development. To be a mother is to nourish, protect true humanity and bring it to development. She said this in a work called The Significance of Women's Intrinsic Value in National Life. So obviously, to be a woman, to be a mother, not every woman is a mother, but many women are called to this vocation, and she was not a mother either, but she lived a very happy and fulfilled life, and she understood that only a woman, obviously, can be called to the beautiful vocation of motherhood. And I'm reminded of the words of Dr. Peter Kraft, who's a good friend of the program. He's been a guest on the show before. He wrote a book along with the late Dr. Alice von Hildebrand, and sadly, the book is no longer in print, but if you can find a copy, please grab it, because it's really, really good. It's a book about women in the priesthood, and so they both argue against it. And Dr. Alice von Hildebrand's point of view is interesting, because she writes as a woman why priestesses are not what God intended, not good, because women have other gifts in the church. And one of the things that Peter Kraft said in that book is he said that only boys can be the daddies and only girls can be the mommies. So it is a noble calling. It's not something to be overlooked. And so if you are a mother, be reminded of the dignity and importance of your vocation today on this International Women's Day. Here's quote number two from St. Edith Stein. Every profession in which a woman's soul comes into its own and which can be formed by a woman's soul is an authentic woman's profession. Every profession in which a woman's soul comes into its own and which can be formed by a woman's soul is an authentic woman's profession. So what does this quote really mean? It means that women aren't limited to motherhood alone. So are there any options, any other options for women? Are there any limits to what a woman can do? And she insists that there's really almost an endless list. So there are many possible vocations available to a woman, and every profession, every line of work that she can find true dignity for her soul. So she's basically saying any profession can be made a woman's profession. Obviously, there might be some exceptions to that. But that's an interesting quote. And so, quote number three from St. Edith Stein on womanhood. And I love this one. The woman's soul is fashioned as a shelter in which other souls may unfold. I love that. The woman's soul is fashioned as a shelter in which other souls may unfold. Now, Edith Stein is way, way more intelligent than I am. Believe me, it doesn't take much, but she was on another level. So it's a bit difficult to unpack this quote, but it's worth a try. But one of the questions that she often asked was, and this is part of her PhD work that she did on empathy. She really asked this question, can we really know other people? Can we really know the way that they feel? And her answer is yes. And she says, really, the human soul itself, the reason why the soul exists is to find itself in relationship with other souls. So that's kind of another way of saying that what gives meaning to life is our relationships. We define ourselves by our relationships. We are sons and daughters of God in the church. We are the spouse of so-and-so, or the son of so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so, the sister or the brother of so-and-so, the friend of whoever. So we're defined by our relationships. We're not lone rangers. That's not what the Catholic life is all about. So to Edith Stein, women are really gifted in particular with the ability to open up their souls to other people, to help give meaning to the lives of others. And I do think that that's true in general, that, you know, it's a bit of a generalism, but that women have an empathy that often is lacking from us men. And it's not that men can't be empathetic, but I like that quote, that the woman's soul is fashioned as a shelter in which other souls may unfold. And that's often the case for moms and for a lot of the other women in our lives. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So top seven, we're looking at the top seven quotes from St. Edith Stein on this International Women's Day 2022. Well, quote number four, the soul of a woman must be expansive and open to all human beings. It must be quiet so that no small weak flame will be extinguished by stormy winds. It must be warm so as not to benumb fragile buds. It must be empty of itself in order that extraneous life may have room in it. Finally, it must be mistress of itself and also of its body so that the entire person is readily at the disposal of every call. End of quote. So basically what she's saying there is that a woman who is in full control of herself can live for other people, can be free to live for others. And true strength is really in sacrificial love that can assist people who are weak. That's what it says about Christ in the scriptures, that a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. You know, if your faith is dying, if you're weak, she said that the soul of a woman must be warmed so not to benumb fragile buds. You know, the fragile bud can be broken off. And so, no. She wants to see a soul really come into full flower. And obviously we live in a world where power, whoever's the most powerful, whoever's the wealthiest, whoever's the most attention grabbing gets all the applause. It's kind of an Instagram world, isn't it, that we live in. And that's a good reminder that she says that a woman can actually find joy and contentment by making her soul beautiful first of all. And just a couple more. Quote number five, top seven quotes from St. Edith Stein. Number five, each woman who lives in the light of eternity can fulfill her vocation, no matter if it is in marriage, in a religious order, or in a worldly profession. End of quote. And that's from Spirituality of the Christian Woman. So obviously we have different callings in life, and not every woman is a mother. Not every woman obviously is a nun. Not every woman is a CEO. But whatever a woman is called to do or be, she'll understand it better if she is really clear on what she's on this earth to do and how it's going to contribute to her lasting happiness. And that's basically becoming a saint. That's true for all of us. So she really thought, St. Edith Stein, that whatever your vocation is, you should let God really drive that. If you live in the light of eternity, you're able to fulfill that vocation that God has had in mind for you from all eternity. Okay, quote number six, woman naturally seeks to embrace that which is living, personal, and whole, to cherish, to guard, to protect, to nourish, and to advance growth is a woman's natural maternal yearning. And she wrote that in The Ethos of Woman's Professions. And obviously, all of us are flawed individuals. We made mistakes in the past. Many of them are quite embarrassing. I know I can certainly vouch for that in my case. But St. Edith Stein is basically saying that women can kind of approach this almost like a mother would, and just like a good mother with a child. You know, they can see flaws in their children, but it's not something to be relentlessly criticized, or you don't want to define your child's life by the mistakes that they've made, by the things that they've done, but to see people as whole beings, as kind of a work in progress, and that they can be nurtured into greatness. God always takes the long view when it comes to souls. And, you know, that's something that we should do as well. All right, and finally, the last quote. This is the top seven quotes from St. Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. It's International Women's Day. She says this quote number seven, women comprehend not merely with the intellect, but also with the heart. Now, obviously, our intellect is crucial because we need it. Basic truths, basic skills that we can discover intellectually. But there's also such a thing as heart knowledge as well as head knowledge. And sometimes I think that women really excel in this area, loving the person, loving with the heart as well as the mind. And that's really the loving gaze that we need to kind of have for people. She was obviously a philosopher. She was someone who studied well. She was an academic. And we tend to sometimes get into a scientific mindset in this world because of knowledge, because of the proliferation of knowledge. One of the things that's big among in education today is trying to get more women and girls into STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, where they're kind of underrepresented. But we can't forget that in this world where science and technology tends to dominate, we can't neglect the valuable heart knowledge that often is something that women have a particular insight into. So those are some quotes, seven quotes from St. Edith Stein. She's a great saint to look at, to get to know on this International Women's Day. So I don't know, maybe you want to share who your favorite woman saint is. And again, you're not allowed to use Mama Mary. That's too easy. And of course, she's, you know, our favorite saint, or if not the favorite saint of all of us, at least should be. But I want to hear what you have to say. We're going to go to Nancy in Irvine, California, who's on the line. What's your favorite female saint, Nancy?
No doubt it's St. Monica.
Ah.
And I'll tell you why. St. Monica never gave up on her son, and he became a saint, St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how could... Of course, I love our Blessed Mother Mary, but... And I just get a lot of strength when I pray and ask for the intervention of St. Monica, because I have a wayward daughter. She's my prodigal daughter, and, I mean, we just love her dearly. And she hurts my heart because of the things that she's doing in her life as a young adult. But I can't give up. I won't give up, just the way St. Monica never gave up on her son. And he became a great saint, one of our the best saints that we have in our Catholic faith. So she's the one. She's the one.
Well, what's your daughter's name, Nancy?
It's Hannah.
Hannah, okay. Well, we will. And that's a very biblical name, too. I'm going to ask everybody who's listening right now, and there are millions of people listening all around the world, and many more will be checking out the podcast later on. And so I'm going to ask everybody who hears this program right now to say a Hail Mary for Hannah, that she would rediscover who she's called to be in Christ. And I know that's on your heart, Nancy, and like a good mom, like St. Monica, I know that's what you want for her. So I'm so glad you called in. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because God is in the miracle business, and it's not over for Hannah. And we're gonna pray for her. I'm so glad that you called, and that's a great saint to mention on this International Women's Day as well. There's so many saints we could have talked about. St. Monica is so fabulous, too. We're going to take a quick break right now on the K.O. Clark Show, but we'll be right back, 888-914-9149, if you want to call in, too. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back. 888-914-9149 is our studio line, 888-914-9149. And I told you off the top, I've got some news about the show, and it is a bittersweet day for all of us here at Relevant Radio on the Faith Explained program and also here on the K.O. Clark Show, because this is the last day for producer Lucas Holt working on these shows. And I got to tell you, I got to bring Lucas up right now because this is going to be shocking news to many of you. Lucas has really been part of the family now. And why is this happening, Lucas? Did I say it? Was it something I said?
Well, Cale, I didn't want to say it outright, but no. I have some exciting news to share. It is bittersweet, but the happy thing that I get to announce is that my wife and I are expecting our first child this summer.
Woohoo!
Yeah, thanks
yes.
be to God. So we're really excited about that. But it's been...
Congratulations, Lucas and Gina.
Thank you. I should also note, by the way, that it's going to be a boy.
Yes.
It's going to be a boy. And the name Cale hasn't been taken off the table yet, Cale, so...
Yeah,
Patrick's good too, by the way. Okay, Patrick's good
too.
Patrick Alok sitting in with us as well. Yeah, I did know this before, folks. And but if you name him after me, I wouldn't say no. So, but I'm sure you got something else better in mind.
Well, so, yeah. But it's I won't lie. It's also been a it's been a complicated pregnancy for my wife so far, and there have been various complications and hospital visits. But I'm happy to say that she's doing a lot better. But because we've been facing some challenges, we made the decision to be closer to family. So,
I
will be moving with her, and
Where are you going?
We'll be in Southwest Florida.
Southwest Florida.
So, wow. Just a little bit warmer than Chicago.
Yeah, just a little bit warmer than Chicago, especially at this time of year. But obviously everybody here is going to be praying for you, all the listeners. And I'm so glad that you mentioned to our listeners about the baby and that, you know, we need to pray for you guys throughout this pregnancy.
Please.
And I mean, if there was a video component to the show right now, we would have had a gender reveal with a blue explosion and everything. We'll keep Gina and the baby in our prayers. And
thank you.
Yeah, and you too. And you know what? We couldn't let you go. We couldn't let you go, Lucas, without getting a little tribute for you from a great friend of the program, who used to be, of course, an associate producer on the show. Many of you will remember with fondness, Karen Moran. And Karen had some words for you. Here she is.
Hi, Lucas. It's Karen, or as you and Kale might say, America's big sister. I heard you're moving on, and I wanted to be among the many who are wishing you the very best on this next chapter in your life. It was a joy getting to know you and working together at Relevant Radio on The Kale Clark Show, Trending with Timory, and of course, the Family Rosary across America. God bless you and your family, Lucas. Know that I will be praying for you, and let's keep in touch, America's little brother.
I love it.
Oh man, Karen, wow, that's awesome. I can't believe you did it. Yeah, Karen's big sister, and Kale, honestly, you're like my big brother. So I will happily take the role of little brother.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
As Karen mentioned, you wore a lot of hats here at Relevant Radio. You really produced four programs, right? The Faith Explained, this show, Trending, and of course, The Family Rosary coming up later tonight. So it's kind of your last hurrah today for those shows. And I know, Patrick Alog, you had some words for Lucas as well that you wanted to say.
Yeah, Lucas, I'll miss you very much. I mean, we've been together for the last couple of years. And you know what I'm going to miss about you? And I think a lot of us agree, because we've actually had a little chat with like other people here at Relevant Radio. We're going to miss your humility. Mm. I mean, Kale, would you agree? I mean, my word. Yeah. I mean, his humility and his graciousness. And it's been so easy to work with you, Lucas, as well. And
thanks, Patrick.
And we're certainly going to miss you here at Relevant Radio. We'll keep you, Gina, and your son in our prayers as well. But blessings to you and your family. But yeah, we're certainly going to miss it here.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's like a family, you know. When we have the quarterly pledge drives each year, we say, you know, be a part of the family. And that's more than just a saying. Like, it's really true. And it's really been a privilege to work with you guys, and also to get to know so many of the listeners who call in, who I get to talk to. It's a privilege and a joy. And hey, it's a new season of life, but God calls each one of us always every day. And a new adventure awaits, so we'll see. Yeah. But I'll definitely miss working with you guys. But we'll stay connected for sure.
And Kale, you know, the Bills do play in Miami once a year.
This is true.
Hey,
yeah,
this
is
true. Yeah, there you go. And Lucas, you know, from my end, I remember like we obviously started at Relevant Radio at the same time, pretty much at the same time, And after I came on board, I remember Mike Kendall, who's a VP of programming here at Relevant Radio, he called me, and I was driving. I pulled over, and I remember very clearly that he told me about you. The first time I'd heard of you, he said, there's this guy, Lucas Holt, this young man, really, really high on this young man, and I think you're really going to like him. We think he'd be an awesome producer for your show. He's a convert to the faith. And yeah, the more he said about you, the more excited I got to work with you. And it's just been so good. I feel like We started together. We learned together, you know, and we kind of got the ropes of doing radio. And I think together we made two of the best shows with The Faith Explained on this show, two of the best shows that are out there right now, in my humble opinion. We try to do our best every day, and you've been such a big part of that. And obviously, Patrick mentioned your humility, and I'd add to that we're ready to pretty much canonize you, I think, right now here. But but you know, just your spiritual depth, your intelligence, your friendship, and most of all, most of all, what I appreciate about you is, of course, your love for the Biebs. You know, you're probably the biggest Justin Bieber fan that I know. So in recognition of that, we'd like to play a little song for you that I'm sure you know very well. All right, okay. I miss you more than life. I miss you more than life. Yeah, we will always miss you, Lucas. And
hey, by the way, I'm still waiting for those Tim Biebs in the mail.
They're a little stale. I think I ate them, to be honest with you. But Lucas, we will miss you. We'll have to settle for the ghost of you. But guess what? It's goodbye, but for me, it's definitely not farewell, because you better believe I'll be crashing at your place in Florida.
Yes, let's do it.
As often as possible. Can you say free vacation accommodation, anyone? But no, I'll definitely come and visit and see you and Gina and the baby and maybe catch a Bills game.
Absolutely. Yes.
You never know.
Kale, take a look at the phone screen. Look at line 3.
Oh, we've got a surprise caller. I did not know this was going to happen. On line 3, it is none other than my daughter, Michaela. Hello, Michaela.
Hi, Dada.
Hello. What did you want to talk to Mr. Lucas?
I just wanted to say goodbye to Mr. Lucas.
Oh, thanks, Michaela. It's really good to hear your voice. I'm going to miss praying with you before the shows.
Bye then, Mr. Lucas.
Goodbye, Michaela. Thank you for calling.
Goodbye, Mr. Lucas. Thank you so much for all your support the past 2 years.
Thank you, Patricia. Absolutely. It's been a joy getting to know both you and Kale over the last year and a half. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Big hugs to you and Gina. And you've been in my prayers every night, and you'll continue to be in our prayers until we hear the happy news that the baby's been born. So
thank you.
Take care and big hugs.
Likewise. I'll be praying for you guys too. Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't know they were going to call in, but I'm so glad that they did. That's amazing. So for all the listeners out there, so every night before the show starts, Lucas calls me on my cell phone, and we always say a prayer together, and that just speaks to his spirituality. We pray about the show and pray that it's going to touch people's hearts for Christ. And Michaela always asks me on that call. She's always like, "Can I say hi to Mr. Lucas?" So she always does. And so I'm really glad that she called and did that one last time.
One of the highlights of my day, for sure.
Oh, it's so great. Well, listen, Lucas, it's been a blast. And God bless you. Everybody's going to be praying for you. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen next in your life.
Yeah, likewise, onwards and upwards. And I'm excited about seeing where the Kale Clark show is going to go. And I'm definitely going to call in from time to time and heckle you.
Oh, yeah, you better do that. Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that. Absolutely.
Especially if you go on about the Bills too long, I'll call in and bring you back down to earth. So.
Yeah. Well, as a Dolphins fan, you don't have much smack talk to give to me right now, but maybe one day. But hopefully not. Anyways, well, Lucas, God bless you. Thank you for everything that you've done for these programs and for me as well. Really appreciate you. And God be with you as you go forward. We'll be right back on the Kale Clark Show, 888-914-9149.
Explaining the Catholic faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's Kale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. As you just heard before the break, some big, big news on the show. This is producer Lucas Holt's last day. Who's going to be the new producer of the Kale Clark Show? Well, that's going to be a cliffhanger. You're going to have to come back tomorrow to find out who that mystery individual is. But a lot of people want to say goodbye to Lucas right now, so we're going to go to the phones right now. RJ is calling from San Francisco. Hello, RJ.
Yes, I'd like to congratulate Lucas. I'm an older guy, and I've been a Catholic and very strict to my faith. And I, for years, and I can usually judge good character, even though I have been around military and all. But I always had a good feeling about Lucas. whenever I talk to him. He's a great asset to our church. And congratulations, Lucas.
RJ, it's great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, thank you for those well wishes, and I appreciate that, man. It's good to hear you, brother. it's a joy talking to you. I recognize your voice as soon as you were on the air, so thank you.
And RJ, you're a great judge of character. You are correct about Lucas, by the way, so appreciate that call so much. Let's go now to Rose, who's calling from California. Hello, Rose.
Hello. Hi, Lucas.
Hi,
so
Rose.
So I just want to say thank you for every call you took, for every prayer you lifted, everything they said about you. I feel the same way, even though I don't work here. I just want to say thanks for everything. And may the Lord bless you, your family, your children, your little one, and the many to come, if the Lord wills. And
yeah,
just thank you. I really appreciate you. And I wish the very best for you and your family, and you will be missed.
Oh, thank you, Rose.
Thank you, Luca.
Thank you. It's my joy, and that means a lot to me. So thank you, Rose. I appreciate that.
Those are beautiful words, Rose. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much, Kale.
Thank you, Kale. I also want to say I enjoy your teaching. Oh, it's amazing. It's awesome. Thank you so very much.
Oh, God bless you. You're so kind, Rose. Really appreciate you and the very nice words that you said about Lucas and me, too. Really appreciate the listen. Call anytime. That's Rose in California. And now we've got to, from Lucas to Lucy. We're going to go to Lucy in San Antonio. Hello, Lucy.
Hey, I'm so excited, but I'm so sad, and I'm going to try not to cry. I love what Rose said, and I love what RJ said, and this is Lucy from San Antonio, and I have called just to talk to Lucas before, and he is amazing. And when things have gotten just hard or scary, there's something in that young man's voice. I'm so excited about Gina and the baby, but I'm going to miss him. And, Kale, I just love your show. Class After Mass reminds me of the Catholic nuns that taught me for 12 years. I mean, I just feel like, oh, wow. I'm going to be late to class. And, Lucas, I'm telling you, Lucas, God has got amazing and fabulous plans for you. And like I told Patrick earlier this afternoon when I called about something else, you producers are the muscle to the backbone of all these hosts. Patrick Madrid, Cyrus,
amen.
Kale, Drew, everybody. And God's got a door that he's opening wide for you, young man, and you are going to be amazing, even more amazing than you are. And you watch and see what your son does. God bless you, love. We love you here in Texas.
Love you too, Lucy. Thank you for those words of encouragement.
Amazing phone call, Lucy. Wow, the eyes of Texas are upon you, Lucas. And I'll tell you, the eyes and the ears of Texas. And you know what? This is a true story, folks. A lot of times I'll look at the call screen and it'll be just lit up with phone calls. And I'll say, hey, Lucas, who's on the line? And it turns out most of the time they're just calling to talk to Lucas because he's such a comforting person and such a spiritual guy that they never even want to talk to me. They're just happy to talk to Lucas and behind the scenes. But what Lucy said is so true. What you do and what all the other producers here at Relevant Radio do, you guys are really the unsung heroes of this operation. So can't thank you enough.
Oh, well, thanks, Kale. And thank you, Lucy. You are a light, as the root of your name suggests. I mean, I may be a little bit biased here, since Lucy and Lucas have the same root word, but
That's right. Root
of the word is Latin for light, and that really lit up my day for sure. So I appreciate that.
You've helped to light up the show for 2 years now. Wow. So I can't believe how the time flies, Lucas, but man, it's not going to be the same without you, man. But you got to call in. Like I said, this is a goodbye, but not a farewell. You got to call in.
Yes.
I'm coming to visit you.
And heckle
we'll
you.
We'll hang out. Yeah, and heckle you. Yeah, absolutely. Please. Please do. You're listening to The Kale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. Hey, did you know that on this day, a couple interesting factoids, on this day in history, March 8th, a couple cool things happened. In 1971, for all you sports fans out there, it was the first fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. And in fact, back in these days, they used to film fights with 35mm film and show them in theaters, highlights of these fights. We actually got a little clip from Ali Frazier 1, which happened in Madison Square Garden, March 8, 1971. Check this out.
The fight is on. Ali first to score with that looping right. But he's wild. And there's a knockdown. A powerful left hook sends Muhammad Ali down. He bounces up at the count of two. The crowd is up on its feet. Time running out. And there it is. It's over. Perhaps the greatest heavyweight championship fight of all time. And the ring gets crowded. Some will say it was the greatest heavyweight championship fight of all time. Certainly it was the most emotional.
All right, so Ali Frazier won. That was the first in a trilogy of fights between these two. The rematch was called Super Fight 2. That was in 1974. And the final was the Thrilla, the famous Thrilla in Manila in the Philippines in 1975. And the last two fights were won by Muhammad Ali. He took his revenge on Joe Frazier. I can just imagine now how the great Howard Cosell saying, "Down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier." Anyways, but fight number one, back then, championship fights were 15 rounds, not 12. So an extra three rounds of punishment, and man, they were both dishing it out. It was a unanimous decision in favor of Joe Frazier and his lethal left hook. And J.D. Flynn, writing in The Pillar, he was talking about this today. And one of the things he said was that MMA killed the rope-a-dope star. And that's a reference to one of Ali's other famous fights, the rope-a-dope fight against George Foreman. The Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire, which happened later on. And yesterday we were talking about Saints Perpetua and Felicity. It was their feast day yesterday. We didn't get a chance to talk about them on this show, but they were killed in the gladiator fights. I almost think when I first started watching MMA, mixed martial arts, I thought, oh my goodness, the octagon. It's like return to the gladiator fights of old. Man, I was having a hard time watching it for a little while. I am kind of a more of a boxing fan for sure. And I don't know. It's just, when I was a kid, I was really into it. And even that video game, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, I was a big Mike Tyson fan. And whew, I could never get past Joe Palooka in the first round. But that was something I played a lot back in the day. And here's something else that happened on this day in 1970. I think I got the year right. 1979, on March 8, 1979. Philips released the first compact discs. Do you remember CDs? Do you remember CDs? Do you remember the Columbia House CD Club? Here's a little clip if you've seen the commercials.
10 CDs for a penny?
Welcome to the world's largest jukebox. At Columbia House, you get to choose 10 CDs you really want for a penny. Best of all, there's no delay. You're free to enjoy big savings from day one.
Look for this offer in your TV guide, newspaper, or mail.
Excuse me? You dropped this.
Get what you want. Columbia House.
All right, Columbia House. What was the other one? BMG, music. I think most of us have a lot more than 10 CDs lying around the house somewhere. We'd probably like to get rid of them. Maybe you already have. But back then, that was a steal. 10 for a penny in the Columbia House Club. And I used to have, I remember, I thought it was cool back in the day. I had a Sony Discman. Remember those things? I used to look down on all those kids who were still working their Walkmans, the Sony Walkmans. Remember the cassette tape player? Yeah, I was in the future, man. I was rocking my Discman. Well, all that stuff obviously has gone the way of the dodo, cassette tapes, CDs, DVDs, even optical media. Man, it's all digital now. It's all streaming. And we're streaming as well on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app all the time. And so how about that? Lucas, did you ever have a Discman? Were you a CD guy back in the day? Or
You know, Kale, I'm not entirely sure what a CD even is.
Yeah, so. You're too young. You're too young. So... Yes. All right, making us all feel old, Lucas, but oh well.
It's one of those circular things, right?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. That's right, and a lot of circular arguments on this show as well, but no, I'm not kidding. But no, yeah, so I tell you, one thing I'm going to miss for sure is having you on the program with me, and we certainly, as we've been talking about, we wish you all God's best in the future, and God's going to do great things. Like Lucy said from Texas, God's going to do great things in your life going forward. We're going to go back to the phones right now. Helen is calling from California. Hello, Helen.
I want to thank you and the whole Relevant Radio team for everything you do for God's vineyard. I'm calling in about the favorite saint. I have to admit, though, that I don't really have a favorite because there's too many wonderful ones. But while you were sharing about Edith Stein, the one that popped into my mind was St. Josephine Bakita. And she was born in the 1800s in the Sudan in Africa. And she was ripped away from her family by neighboring tribes who abducted her and sold her into slavery. And during that time, she was tortured. You know, they dug into her skin. They poured salt in the wounds, so they made marks on them. You know, she sold into some other slavery and was tortured. And she finally found her way into a family as basically like a nanny.
Yeah.
And they took her to Europe. And while she was there, she learned about Jesus and wound up becoming a nun. And I know that during the Blitzkrieg, I think it was, she was even comforting young children who were afraid, you know, when the bombs were falling. And I only learned about her many, many years ago when I was homeschooling my own children and bought a storybook about her. And I was just always really impressed because the book also focused on her desire and ability to forgive her abductors. Yeah. And the quote that she has says, "If I was to meet those slave raiders that abducted me and those who tortured me, I'd kneel down to them to kiss their hands, because if it had not been for them, I would not have become a Christian and a religious woman." And I just think that's just so inspiring, because forgiveness is very hard, especially when someone has hurt you gravely. And I know that I'm going to, even after today, ask more for her intercession to be able to continue to grow in forgiveness for some of the deep woundedness that I've experienced.
Yeah, we'll pray for that too, Helen. And yeah, she's a great saint to mention, St. Josephine Bakita. And yeah, it's she did say those words, and her feast day is on February the 8th. It's actually my daughter's birthday as well. So as I said that day when we were talking about her just recently on the program, I was the day that Michaela was born. I hadn't slept all night, and I called my parish priest to tell him the good news, and he said her name is Josephine, right? And I didn't know what he was talking about, because his name is Father Joe. So I said, is he implying I should name the baby after him? You know, and I finally got it. Oh, it's St. Josephine Bakita's feast day, but we'd already picked out the name Michaela. But thank you so much for that, Helen. I really appreciate that. That's just a beautiful phone call. Let's go now to Sam in Athens, Georgia. Hello, Sam. Good friend of the program. It's good to have you back. How are you doing?
Great, Cale. And just want to say goodbye to Lucas, and that if he's ever passing through Georgia, you have an open invitation to stop at my house.
How about that? Yeah, you can go down there on your way to Florida.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. I'll miss you too. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
That's great. God bless you, Sam. Sam down in Athens, Georgia, really faithful listener to Relevant Radio. So any last words to the people, Lucas?
Well, on this International Women's Day, I'll jump in on the train here and say one of my favorite female saints is St. Thérèse of Lisieux.
Mm.
And each one of us is called on a journey every day, whether it's a big event in our life, you know, big life change, or something small. And she always taught the little way of trust and love. And no matter what God is calling you to, whether it's something simple, like going across town to do something for a family member, just continue to trust in God. He's got a plan for your life, and good things will come.
Well, great things are going to come in your life, Lucas. Thanks for everything. God bless you, my friend. We love you here at Relevant Radio. One last time, take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.